This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Were you able to review your notes for the last lesson? I hope you did. Again, if you did not get a chance to review the notes, please make sure that you do. And one thing that I would ask you to do is make a table for yourself, and basically a table with 6 rows and 3 columns, okay? Because remember, there are 6 shares of inheritance that are mentioned in these verses. So write down those 6 shares, half, quarter, eighth, two-thirds, third, one-sixth, and then read the verses and find out whose share is half, in which case, whose share is a quarter, in which case, whose share is eighth, in which case, whose share is two-thirds, in each case, whose share is a third, and whose share is a sixth. Okay? So when you will go over the verses like this, and you'll be looking for the exact shares, which person gets which share in which situation, then inshallah you'll be able to better understand the verses as well, inshallah. Let's do a quick review. And if you'd like, you can make the table right now and fill that as we go over the verses. Or you can do that later on in your own time, inshallah. So let's begin. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma ihdi qalbi wa saddid lisani waslul sakhimata qalbi. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Suratul Nisa, ayah number 11. Yusikumullahu fi awladikum. Allah instructs you concerning your children. So basically in ayah number 11, you have the shares of children, meaning what children will inherit from their parents in the case where either the mother or the father die. Okay? So first of all, the case of the children is mentioned. Meaning what are the shares of the children, male and female? Then we see the shares of the parents are given. Okay? And when is it that the parent inherits from the child? Well, of course, what that means is that the child has died. So in the case where a person dies, leaving behind parents, then how much do the parents inherit from their deceased children? And parents include both mother and father, right? So in this ayah, primarily the shares of the children and the shares of the parents are mentioned. What children inherit from their deceased parents and what parents inherit from their deceased children. Okay? When it comes to the children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْسَيَيْنِ. The share of the male is similar to that of the share of 2 females. Meaning, the share of the son will be double that of the daughter. So, if there are, for example, 1 son and 2 daughters, okay, then the son will get half and the daughters will share the other half. Okay? فَإِن كُنَّ نِسَاءً فَوْقَ اثْنَتَيْن فَلَهُنَّ ثُلُثَ مَا تَرَكْ. And if there's only daughters, no sons, and these daughters are 2 or more, then they will share 2/3 of the estate. Any 2/3 will be equally divided between them. وَإِن كَانَتْ وَاحِدَةً فَلَهَا النِّصْفُ. And if she is only one, meaning there's only one daughter, there's no son, no second daughter, the one daughter is the only child of the deceased, then she will get half. Okay, so these are the shares that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in regard to children. وَلِأَبَوَيْهِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا السُّدُسُ. Now the case of the parents. For the parents, لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا, for each one of them too, meaning for the mother and for the father, for each is how much? A sudus, a sixth. And this is in the case where إِنْ كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدْ, if the deceased had a child. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلَدْ, if he did not have a child, meaning if the deceased did not leave behind any children, and the only heirs of the deceased are who? The parents. Then فَلِأُمِّهِ الثُّلُثُ, then the mother gets a third, and the remainder goes to the father. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ إِخْوَةٌ, but if the deceased had siblings, okay, then the mother's share will reduce. And it will reduce to how much? A sudus, the sixth. And all of this division of estate between the heirs will be done when? مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصِي بِهَا أَوْدَيْنِ. After any wasiyah, any will that the deceased had made. Okay, so the will has to be carried out, which means that even a child can make a will in regard to his wealth. Okay, so for example, if there is, let's say, a 10-year-old girl, okay, who has gold jewelry that her grandmothers have given her. It's her property, right? So if she dies, then her property will not just be taken by the father. No, it has to be divided according to the laws detailed in this ayah, okay, between the parents, okay? And if, let's say, the girl had made a will that if I die, then I would like that some of my gold is given to, let's say she points out to a ring. She says that this ring of mine, I want that it should be given to my cousin. It should be given to my friend. Or it should be given to my Quran teacher. It should be given in sadaqah. It should be given to the mosque. It should be given here or there. Let's say she has money sitting in the bank. Okay? She can make a will in regard to that also. So a child's will also has to be carried out. Okay? The will has to be carried out. Awdain, or any debt that the deceased owed, has to be paid. أباؤكم وأبناؤكم لا تدرون أيهم أقرب لكم نفعا. Your parents or your children, you do not know which of them are closer to you in terms of benefit. Meaning you are not in a position to decide who should receive what from your estate, because you don't know who is going to be of more benefit to you. You would want to give more of your estate to someone whom you think will be of greater benefit to you after your death, right? But you don't know the future. So you don't get to decide who is your heir, and you don't get to decide who gets what. This division of the estate will be according to the law of Allah, فَرِيضَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ, an obligation from Allah. Yani this is not an option. This is an obligation. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And you do not have the right to criticize or to disagree, because indeed Allah is knowing and wise. So He has given these shares, He has fixed these shares based on His perfect knowledge and His perfect wisdom. We learned about wasiyya. And wasiyya is basically that a person is allowed to will or bequeath a certain amount of their wealth to a non-heir. So when it comes to our property, we don't get to decide who gets to inherit how much from us after we die, right? The shares have been appointed by Allah, and the heirs have also been appointed by Allah. This is not something that we get to choose. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given us some liberty to decide who gets some of our wealth upon our death. And this is called wasiyah. So part of our wealth, we are allowed to will, we are allowed to bequeath to someone of our choice. Okay, and this is called wasiyah. And why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that liberty to make a will in favor of someone? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained. There is a hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah in which we learn the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah has been charitable with you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَصَدَّقَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah has done a charity to you over the disposal of 1/3 of your wealth at the time of your death. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been charitable towards you by allowing you to bequeath up to a maximum 1/3 of your wealth, okay, at the time of your death, meaning that upon your death, you can decide who can inherit that wealth from you. Why? زِيَادَةً لَكُمْ فِي أَعْمَالِكُمْ, so that you may be able to add to the record of your good deeds. So that you have the opportunity to gift something from your wealth to someone who is in need, and thereby increase in your good deeds. Or bequeath some of your wealth in the cause of Allah, okay, in order to support the religion of Allah, so that you can increase in your good deeds after you die. So a few things we must remember is that wasiyya is allowed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to make a will in regard to our wealth, but not all of our wealth, only up to a third of our wealth. And I mentioned this to you earlier, that many companions considered a third to be too much also, because the Prophet ﷺ said, وَثُلُثُ كَثِيرٌ, a third is a lot. So their preference was to make a will of an amount that is less than a third. So a quarter or a fifth. Okay, less than a third is better. Secondly, remember that wasiya, a will, cannot be made in the favor of an heir. Okay, so someone who is already due to inherit from you, so for example, your son, your daughter, your mother, your father, or in their absence, your brother or your sister, right? Or also your spouse inherits from you, you cannot make a will in the favor of an heir. Okay, even someone from the asaba, you cannot make a will in favor of your heir. A will of up to a third of one's wealth can only be made in the favor of a non-heir, someone who does not inherit from you. Okay, and that can be a relative or a non-relative. It can be a person. It can be a cause. It can be someone who has been prevented from inheriting from you because of some reason. Okay, so for example, in the presence of the son, there are many people who will not inherit. So a non-heir, in the presence of the father, the brother and sister will not inherit, right? So a will can be made in favor of a non-heir or someone who does not inherit because of some kind of a barrier, okay? Another barrier is the difference in religion. So if, for example, a relative is a non-Muslim, so for instance, a man accepts Islam, his mother is a non-Muslim, and his mother is financially dependent on him. She is elderly, she does not have a source of income, and this man, if he dies, then his Muslim wife, his Muslim children inherit from him, and nothing of his estate technically goes to the mother. So can he make a will, a wasiyah, in favor of his non-Muslim mother? Can he? Yes, he can. Likewise, can a person make a will in favor of their non-Muslim son, non-Muslim child? Yes, they can. Okay? This is something that is permissible. So a wasiyah, remember, can only be made in the favor of a non-heir, whatever the reason is for them to be a non-heir. And secondly, it can only be up to a third of one's wealth. And as the Prophet ﷺ explained, the reason is so that you can increase in your good deeds by making a final act of charity. And this is actually Allah's charity on you, that Allah has done a favor to you by allowing you to make a will in regard to your wealth. And this also shows us that if a person is leaving behind a great amount of wealth, then they have the opportunity to make a will in favor of a charitable cause so that they increase in good deeds, right? If their heirs, so for example, if a person only has a daughter, okay? And we know that the daughter will inherit half of the wealth and the remainder will go to the asaba, right? So in this case, a man sees that his daughter is already financially independent, okay? And she is going to inherit half, and the remainder is going to go to the asaba, who are also financially independent. So he sees that he doesn't have many heirs. Therefore, he wants to make a will of up to a third of his wealth to support, for example, an Islamic organization. Can he do that? Absolutely he can. And he's encouraged to do that because he's leaving a great amount of wealth. His heirs are not in need, and he has an excellent opportunity to support a good cause. So this will ensure that he receive good deeds after he has died, right? This is a form of sadaqah jariyah, all right? I hope this has clarified the concept of the wasiyah. Then in the next ayah, وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ. In the next ayah, we see the shares of, first of all, the spouses are given. What is the share of the husband in the case where the wife dies? And what is the case of the wife in the case where the husband dies, right? And then we see in this ayah the inheritance of the kalala. Kalala is a person who dies without leaving any parents or children. Okay, so who will inherit from the kalala? So three cases are mentioned in this ayah. The share of the husband, what the husband inherits from his wife. Second, what the wife inherits from her husband. And third, what the siblings inherit from the kalala. So let's look at the first case. وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ لَهُنَّ وَلَدٌ. And for you is half of what your wives leave if they have no child. So if a woman dies leaving behind only husband, then the husband will inherit half of her estate. Okay? And فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُنَّ وَلَدٌ فَلَكُمُ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْنَا. But if they have a child, yani if the woman died leaving behind a child or children and a husband, then in that case, the husband will inherit how much? A quarter, a rubur. And this division of the estate will also be done after carrying out the will and paying off the debts. وَلَهُنَّ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ. Now what will the wife inherit from the husband? She will inherit a quarter of what the husband has left. إِلَّمْ يَكُلْ لَكُمْ وَلَدْ. If you do not have a child. Yani if a man dies leaving behind only a wife and no child of his own, in that case, the wife will inherit a quarter of his entire estate. And the remainder goes to who? The asaba. Okay, the asaba. And who are the asaba? The closest male relative. Okay. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ فَلَهُنَّ الثُّمُنُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ. And if you do have a child, then they will get an eighth of what you left. And the wife's share will reduce in the case where the husband has children. Okay? Now, many people get worried that, you know, if the wife's share is so little, is an eighth, okay, and, you know, the remainder is going to the children, and let's say if the children are sons, then the sons will just take everything. And if the children are only daughters, then the daughters get two-thirds, and the remainder will go to the closest male relative, then what is the wife going to do? And many people wonder, why is the wife's share so little? The thing is that the wife's share is less compared to that of the husband because the wife is on the receiving end still. How? If she is younger, right, then, you know, if she were to remarry, she will receive mahar and nafaqa from her next husband, right? And she is in a financially secure position. And if she is older, let's say, and she does not get married and she has children, right, especially sons, then it is the obligation of the sons to look after their mother, right? So again, she is in a financially secure position. Now, if a man feels that, you know, let's say that his sons are not that responsible or they are younger and he's worried about his wife, that if he were to die, then, you know, her legal share is not that much. It's only an eighth. Then what should he do? Then in his life, he should ensure that he gives her something that guarantees her financial security. For example, he can make her co-owner of, let's say, the house. Okay? So what that means is that the house is 50-50 owned by him and his wife. So in the case of his death, it's only the 50% of, you know, his share that will be distributed among his heirs. Right? Not all of it. So he should do something in his life to ensure that she is in some financially secure position. And this is actually mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. Even though the verse is abrogated, there's still lesson in that. And the ayah is that those who die leaving behind wives, then they should make a will in favor of their wives, that they should be able to live in the house for 1 year. And then after that, the house should be divided among the heirs. The ayah is abrogated because the iddah is 4 months and 10 days, not 1 year, right? And the share of inheritance is an eighth and not the house for up to a year. So the ayah is abrogated, but in it is certainly a direction, you know, that a man should be concerned about the financial security of his wife after he dies. So he should do something during his lifetime to ensure that if he were to die, she is not struggling financially, that she's not now all of a sudden at the mercy of other people. And there was once a time where she lived very comfortably, lavishly, and now all of a sudden, since the husband's death, she is surviving on charity of friends and family. So a husband should, see what their position is and what their unique situation is, and then do something to protect her financially in the case where he dies. And there's nothing wrong with that. However, he cannot make a will in her favor. He cannot say that if I die, then the house is for my wife. No, he cannot do that. Yani, if he wants to gift it to her during his lifetime, that's fine. And that actually makes a lot of sense, because if she were to die, all right, while he's alive, then he gets half, right? And the remainder would go to the children. So if he gives it to her, he is in a win-win situation anyway. But he cannot make a will in her favor. He can gift it to her in his lifetime, but he cannot make a will in her favor. He has to do something during his lifetime to provide her with financial security in the case of his death. So, فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ فَلَهُنَّ ثُمُنُ مَا تَرَكْتُمْ. If you have a child, they get an eighth of what you have left. مِمْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ تُوصُونَ بِهَا أَوْدَيْنِ. After any will that you have willed, or any debt that you owe, meaning the will has to be carried out, the debt has to be paid off, and then the inheritance will be divided. And this teaches us that a person should make his debts known, especially debts that are significant. Such debts should be known to people who are closest to you, right? So that they can pay it off from your property. In Surah Al-Baqarah, we learned about how in Ayatul Dain, that إِذَا تَدَيَّنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ فَاكْتُبُوهُ, that when you engage in some kind of a loan, then make sure you write it down, right? You write it down. Because with the written record, even if you are not able to tell anyone about how much you owe someone, at least when they find that document, they will know that you owe someone a certain amount, and they will pay it off from your property. Or if nothing is left of your property, they find out afterwards, they can do a favor to you and pay it off on your behalf. The main thing is that debts have to be paid off, and this is a very serious matter. And by the way, when it comes to the payment of debts, let me just mention a few more things. We learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he refused to pray the janazah. I mentioned that to you earlier. He refused to pay the janazah of the person who died leaving behind a debt, right? And we learn in one narration about a man who owed just a few dirham, just a few gold coins, okay? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because he didn't leave anything with which, you know, the heirs could pay off the debt, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you pray janazah, meaning he refused to pray. So Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, he felt really bad, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I will pay off the debt, you pray the janazah for him. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed the janazah, right? And we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to ask him that, did you pay off the debt? Did you pay off the debt? So this is a very serious matter. Now the case of the kalala. وَإِنْ كَانَ رَجُلٌ يُورَثُ كَلَالَةً. If there is a man who is being inherited as a kalala, meaning he is dying without leaving any parents or children. And this could be a man or a woman. Okay. رَجُلٌ أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٌ وَلَهُ أَخٌ أَوْ أُخْتٌ. And he has a brother or a sister. And imagine a man dies leaving behind a sister. Or a woman dies leaving behind a sister. Or a man dies leaving behind a brother. One sibling. فَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَ السُّدُسِ. Then for each is a sixth. Yani whether it's a sister or a brother, they will get a sixth. فَإِنْ كَانُوا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And if they are more than that, meaning more than one sibling, then فَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ فِي الثُّلُسِ. Then they will be partners in a third. Okay? Now, the wife is not mentioned over here because the wife or the husband was mentioned earlier. Right? So in the case of the husband, any the husband inheriting from his dead wife, he will inherit half, right? And the remainder will go to who? The sibling or siblings. And in the case of the wife, she will inherit from her husband a quarter, and the remainder will go to his siblings. Okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions again, مِمْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُصْغَى بِهَا أَوْدَيْنٍ غَيْرَ مُضَارٍ. After a wasiyah, okay, yani after the fulfillment of any bequest, yusa biha, which was bequeathed, aw daynin, or payment of any loan, ghayra mudar, without causing any harm. As long as there is no detriment caused. Yani the heirs should not be harmed through the wasiyah. And how is it that the heirs would be harmed through the wasiyah? That if the wasiyah is more than a third. All right? Wasiyatan min Allah, this is an ordinance from Allah. Wallahu alimun halim, and Allah is knowing and forbearing. Look at how the verses begin. Yusikumullah. And at the end, wasiyatan min Allah. Subhanallah. And I mentioned this to you that what is mentioned in this ayah with regard to the siblings is that these are maternal siblings, right? Yani those siblings who are through your mother's side. And with regard to the paternal siblings or full siblings, the last verse of Surah An-Nisa gives the ruling, and inshallah we'll talk about that when we get there. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the limits set by Allah. Okay? وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. These are the limits set by Allah, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger will be admitted by Him to gardens and paradise under which rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, abiding eternally therein. وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, and that is a great attainment. Subhanallah, those who obey Allah and His Messenger, in regard to what? In regard to the law of inheritance. So as the bequeather, for example, okay, you the one who is leaving the estate, the one who is making a will in regard to their estate, if they obey Allah and His Messenger, Allah will admit them into paradise. And in regard to the heirs, any those who are dividing the estate among themselves, okay, if they obey Allah and His Messenger in regard to this matter, so they divide the estate according to the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, they will get Jannah because of that. Subhanallah. And that is the great attainment. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger in regard to the wasiyah or in regard to their estate. Like, for example, a person says, all of my wealth should be given in charity. Okay? Or that a person, and he deliberately does something in order to prevent an heir from receiving a share. Like, for example, a man intentionally divorces his wife, you know, moments before he dies. Why? So that she does not inherit anything. And he does not want to obey the law of Allah then, right? Because it is Allah who has given the wife a share. And I mentioned this to you earlier, that in that case, the wife will still inherit, right? So whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, and the heirs sometimes disobey Allah and His Messenger, that they do not divide the estate properly. So for example, in the case where a man dies, leaving behind a wife and a child, let's say a daughter, and also a mother and a father, then sometimes the wife will take everything. She will not give the mother, the father, anything. Where, subhanAllah, the mother and father's share will be greater than hers. But she keeps it all to herself, and she does not give them anything. This is disobedience to Allah and His Messenger. وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ, and this is transgressing the limits set by Allah. This is very dangerous, because look at the warning. يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا. Look at the threat. Allah will admit him into the fire. خَالِدًا فِيهَا. He will abide therein eternally. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and for him will be a humiliating punishment. Astaghfirullah. Humiliating. And if people try to seek honor through wealth, but all that honor will finish in the humiliating punishment of hell. And people act on their ego, that no, I am the wife, I should get more. No, we are the family, we lived with him, so we should get everything. Why should a male relative, you know, like an uncle, get anything? Any people act on their ego, right? Or they want to act on their ego, they like to say, this is my wealth, I'm going to decide what to do with it, who to give it to. No, this is transgressing the limits that Allah has set. And you act on your ego, go ahead, but then there is going to be a humiliating punishment. All that ego will go away with the humiliating punishment. So we have to be very careful. Ta'a, obedience to Allah and His Messenger, has to be tamma. It has to be complete, yani in all matters. We don't get to pick and choose what we want to obey in and what we don't want to obey in. And look at how the companions, radiallahu anhum, would obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he was ill and he felt like he was going to die. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, do you have a will? And Sa'd radiallahu anhu said that, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for how much? He said, all of my wealth for the cause of Allah. I want to give all of my wealth for the cause of Allah. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu was wealthy. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what are you leaving for your children? So Sa'd radiallahu anhu said that they are rich, they have enough, they don't need any more. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you have to give less than that. Right? You cannot give all of your wealth as a will. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu asked him, can I will half of my wealth? And he asked him different amounts. Can I will this much? The Prophet ﷺ said, no, less than that, less than that, less than that. And he kept decreasing it until he said, will a third? And a third even is too great. What did Sa'd radiallahu anhu do? Did he say, no, a third is too little? I'm going to do what I'm going to do? No, he listened to the Prophet ﷺ. He was not stubborn. So when we learn about these laws, then we should not become stubborn. We should surrender to the commands of Allah, to the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And when people do things to deprive their heirs, okay, this is something very serious. We learn that a man had 6 slaves, okay, and that was basically the only property that he had. He owned 6 slaves. And just before he died, he freed all of them. He said, all of you are free. Why did he do that? So that his heirs would not get anything. So when the Prophet ﷺ heard about that, he became angry. And he said, I thought of not offering the funeral prayer for this man. In another narration, we learn the Prophet ﷺ said in a case like that, that I thought of not bringing such a person in the graveyard of the Muslims. Subhanallah. So this is a very serious matter. And each person should be clear about what their assets are, what their property is. If they have any debts, any loans, they should be very clear so that they can be paid off afterwards. And if they want to make any will, they should make sure that it is not unfair in any way, to ensure that the command of Allah, the law of Allah, is implemented properly and fully even after their death. And if you live in a non-Muslim country, then it's very important that you know, what the laws are and what steps you have to take to ensure that your property is divided according to the Islamic law after you die. So you could, for instance, write a will and have that with a lawyer, okay? And you appoint someone as a trustee, meaning someone who will divide your estate according to the Islamic law, right? You want to make sure that laws that are other than those which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed do not interfere with the distribution of your estate among your heirs, right? Because in every country, there's different laws. So you have to make sure that the estate is divided according to the laws that Allah has revealed and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained.